Well, good morning, everyone. Before I get started, I'm going to open up in prayer real quick, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you. We thank you for this opportunity and this moment that we can spend together and share what we learn about you. And also, Lord, how you touch our hearts. I pray, Lord, that what you taught me, I get out of the way and I let you speak. I pray, Lord, that you bless those who need to be heard, hear this. And also, Lord, bless us all, Lord, and our families as well. We come here, Lord, because we want to be closer to you. We come here, Lord, because we want to be closer to each other. We want to be able to share your word with others with confidence, love, compassion. And also, Lord, we just want to thank you for how you looked after us and the promises that you keep and you've always kept, Lord. And we thank you for the reminders each day. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so today, just so you know, I don't do notes up there because I'm not tech savvy. So, anyways, so we're gonna teach on Jeremiah today. Okay. Well, I just did. Here we go. Okay. So First Jeremiah, basically, I'm going to read a few things to you, and then I'm going to kind of go into a little explanations of what the Lord has put in my heart about it. Okay? So in the first part of Jeremiah, he basically, we're learning about how he's basically a prophet. And he's called different than part of his family. You know, his father and his grandfather were priests. And he's called to be a prophet. And the Lord calls him on it and changes and tells him, I knew you before you were born. And the cool part about this was, he was born into basically a priestly family, the son of Hilkiah, and he was the descendant of Aaron, the brother of Moses. The calling that he had, which was pretty interesting, is because when God says that I knew you before you were born, which is what I found that was interesting, that God doesn't have to wait to know us. He knew us beforehand. You know, and not like our parents were born. We're born and that's when they know us. They get to know us at that moment on. God knew us from a thought. He knew us from the plan. And so he took it from that point, and he's basically just reminding Jeremiah, you know, who you are and how I knew you. Also, too, God's not limited in time because he doesn't live in time. You know, we have this time limit on everything. We always have structure. We always feel like we're put in little boxes. The sad thing is we try to do that with God as well. And it's not that he doesn't work that way. And it's so hard to fathom to how we get out of that mindset. You know, we put ourselves in boxes. We put everything we do in little categories and shelves and cubbies and whatever. And we think at the same time that God does, we put God in the same thing, and the same, we do him the same way, which is basically a disservice, you know. So God's basically telling him, I knew you. Don't you get it? I formed you. So he's kind of reminding him that, and that he knew him before conception, which is really cool. And the other part, too, is like, why did God tell him this? And what I come to, you know, the thoughts that came to mind was God was giving him great confidence because of what was going to happen. He knew that he was going to go through struggles. So before the struggles happened, and during the struggles, he was already forewarned that Not only did I know you, but I've also put my words in your mouth because you say that you're young. You know, when God tells him, he commands him to go out and to do something, and at the time, Jeremiah is young, and Jeremiah is kind of argues with the Lord, saying, but Lord, I'm young. I don't have the words. So what the Lord does is he says, why are you telling me this? Don't you trust me? So he's basically telling him, let me put my words in your mouth, and anything I tell you to do, you do. You know, and God will. Okay. So, anyways, so God not just gives him the commandments, a command, but he also reminds him that he is also his strength, you know. And then when God tells him to speak, he tells him, don't be afraid. Don't go out there and speak with fear. He goes, don't you realize I'm with you? I got this, you know. And, well, also, too, the news that Jeremiah had to share with the nations wasn't good news. It wasn't good news. You know, they're warnings. Because what they done is, you know, in the book of Jeremiah, one, it basically speaks about how they were doing things on their own. They were worshiping gods with a little g, not the Lord God with a big G, you know? And so he's just basically he's laying it out there for him. He's saying, tell him about me, because there's some bad things that are going to come, and they're not listening, and there's some consequences to pay. But why wouldn't they listen to Jeremiah? And partly it was because, you know, they were lovers of themselves. They were lovers of their own idols, the things that they made with their own hands, the works of their own hands, you know. And even the Lord, you know, had told them, you know, it says, arise, you know, and speak. You know, don't be terrified before them, or I'll terrify you before them. I'll make a spectacle out of you, you know. And then he also says, he warns them, they're going to fight against you. They're going to come against you. But don't worry, I'm going to deliver you. In 1 Kings 18:19, it starts off with the Lord coming to Elijah, presenting himself to Ahab. And, you know, there's a time of drought. There's no rain. And the Lord tells him, you know, that he's going to make it rain. But during the book of Kings, you know, we also find out that these people are double-minded as well. You know, they don't know who to believe. They don't believe the God of Elijah. They don't believe the God, the Lord. But they also want to believe the same thing, like, you know, in Jeremiah, their own, what the works of their hands, their idols, the, you know, who they worshipped, and the sad part is today we're living in the same kind of area. You know, a lot of people right now are worshiping and being lovers of themselves. You know, we're seeing this, what's going on right now with, you know, Roe versus Wade. We're looking at, you know, we're watch the news, and everything you turn on the news is negative, you know, and it depresses, and it takes away the joy of people, you know. And I think when the Lord tells us, you know, we need to pray without ceasing, he means pay attention to me, love on me, let's have a relationship, let's get together, and let's get to know one another. You know, when I came to the Lord, you know, I thought, like probably many of you guys and many of you, that it was going to be a cakewalk. All my problems are going to be solved. God's got this, man. No matter what happens in life, he's got this. And, you know, and I'm going to live in a nice house. I'm going to have all the money I need. I'm going to have all the food I want. and all my children are going to do very well. You know, I mean, there's a struggle. It's an absolute struggle, and we all know this. That's called life. You know, I know that the God that I serve, He made promises. You know, and the promises that He says that I will protect you. You know, I pre-planned everything for you. Everything you're going through, I already knew about. And He's telling that basically. I know I'm kind of butchering it a little bit in Kings a little, but you know when Elijah was told, you know, when he set up the altar and these people were double-minded, and they were, he got these bulls. He asked for two bulls, and he told them. He told the priest, go and pick your bull. And I'll pick mine. And then what we're going to do is we're going to build two altars. And out of these two altars, I'm going to let you go first. You go ahead and you pray to your little God, your God. And towards the evening, I'm going to pray to the Lord. And whoever consumes these bulls, the bull, that's the God we'll pray to. If it's your God, Baal, Then it's Baal. If it's my God, then it's my God. So he makes us these, they make their altar, they get up, and they're praying, and they're chanting, and, you know, it's going on and on. About noon, he starts mocking him. Where's your God? Is he asleep? Is he taking a nap? Is he on vacation? What's going on with him? And so he lets it go, and then towards the evening, he tells his people to go, right, let's build an altar. We're going to build it with 12 pillars and 12 stones. Any stone there's a meaning to it. And we're going to we're going to butcher the bull, put it on top, and we're going to soak it. So I want you to soak it. Get 4 jars of water and soak it. They even dug a trench around it. So they soaked it the first time, and he says, okay, now soak it again. Fill those jars again and soak it the second time. So they soaked it the second time. And then he tells them, okay, now let's do it a third time. And they soak it, and that pool is filled up with water. And then he gets up, and he starts asking the Lord, you know, he requests his presence. I want to make you known. And so as he's praying, he's telling them, please let them, you know, Lord, make yourself known to them. And so the Lord consumes not just the bull, but also all the water. It's gone. And the Lord made himself known. And what was really interesting about all this, it took that to basically believe, you know, they bowed down and they were worshiping the Lord. And I found it interesting because I went back to the, you know, you think back in the beginning, it's like he wanted to make sure that everybody knew who his Lord was. You know, it's pretty dramatic. But then it goes on to talk about too, because there's still a drought going on. And he goes out and he tells one of his men, you know, tell me when you see clouds. And the guy goes out and multiple times. He says, nope, there's no clouds. Seventh time he comes back to me, he says, well, there's a cloud about the size of a hand. And he goes, okay, well, tell Ahab to come down and off the mountain because it's going to rain. And he doesn't want to get caught up there. So by the time he's coming down, it's pouring. You know, the drought's ended. So, you know, it's amazing what God will do. Just and the thing that I love about these stories, you know, these verses, is it basically tells us, you know, that our God is real. He keeps his word. You know, he doesn't waver. He doesn't lie. You know, I'm grateful that during these times, you know, especially right now in troubles, we can look out and we think, you know, that what we're going through is huge. We have, these guys just relied on prayer and God himself. We actually have a book that tells us the whole story. You know, from beginning to end, what's the beginning, what's happening, and what's going to happen at the end. We have the whole story. But yet a lot of us don't even read it like we should. You know, I find myself at times where I'm challenged, you know, because of all the things that life has thrown at you, you know, and, you know, we're all going through stuff. And I know that we're all going through things. And, you know, like I was telling you earlier, when I became a Christian, you know, I thought it was going to be easy. But God says, I got this, you know. And he never said it was going to be a smooth ride. There's going to be turbulence. There's going to be, you know, we're going to get shook up. But when at the end of our days, you know, because he says he has us in the palm of his hands, when we finally make it home to the Lord, he has us in the palm of his hand, you know, and we're secure. So what I found about this here is that, you know, it's a reminder that no matter what happens or what people, if they're double-minded, we have to stay on track. We have to be the ones that have got to be the light. We got to be the ones that, you know, that present the Lord to those who don't know him. Also, too, we are the ones that God depends on, you know, to share, to spread his word, especially when we give his word and we say, Lord, I'm here for you. I want you. I want you in my life. I want you to protect my family. I want you to watch over my friends and the people I love and care about. You know, he says that he'll protect our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our lineage. You know, I'm relying on that, you know, and I know that all you guys are as well. And I just pray to God that, you know, during your life and during my life, you know, we can come together and strengthen one another, encourage one another, even when things get raw and awful and hateful in this world, that no matter what, rather than backstabbing and hurting one another, we can come together and say, hey, you know, brother, I got an issue. Can I pray with you? Or can you pray with me? You know, sister, you know, can we pray? I have a problem. You know, and the Lord is telling us, we're made for each other, you know, because, and it sounds kind of, sounds odd, but I honestly believe that the Lord has given us each other as gifts, you know, to help one another as helpers. I know he's given us wives and husbands, you know, to as helpmates, you know, to go through life. But also, too, he's given us each other to encourage one another and strengthen one another. The church is, we're not just a building, we're the body. But as the body, we got to keep moving forward. If not, we go stagnant, we die. You know, so, you know, I just wanted to just thank you guys for this opportunity to come up here and just share what the Lord's put on my heart. Because honestly, you know, I pray on that he encourages you, that you find that's, not just a spark, but that flame that he put in you from long ago, you know. So praise you and thank you, Jesus.